Good morning. Welcome to St. James Westminster Anglican Church. My name is Keith Nethery. I'm the rector of the parish. We are so happy that you joined us for worship today. We have quite a cast today and also a special event or two to celebrate along the way. But first, let's talk about those who you will hear from as we go through this time of worship. Our music team, as always, is led by Steve Hollowitz, and our musicians and vocalists today are Shen Jones, Paul Grambo, Alexander von Wartburg, Katie Clark, Victoria Piovison, and Angus Sinclair. There are three of us doing the Ministry of the Word today, Hannah Scorer, myself, and our special guest, for a special reason, is the Reverend Brian McKay. In fact, in the month of May, all three of us celebrate anniversaries. On the 1st of May, Hannah had been ordained all of one full year. Congratulations to Hannah. On Friday past, I marked 24 years as a priest in the Church of God. But the far more prominent anniversary that we celebrate today with a far more prominent person is 50 years ordained a deacon for the Reverend Brian McKay. It will be on Tuesday, I believe, this coming week, that Brian marks 50 years. Brian, tell us where you are ordained and what little pieces of golden memories you have of that anniversary.
I was ordained at Christ Church Chatham by Bishop Harold Appleyard. I have the reputation of being the only priest in the world who was made deacon and priest both by Harold Appleyard alone, with no other bishops present. And when I started my curacy at Trinity Church Galt, Ken Conyard's first advice to me was, forget everything you learned at Huron and be yourself.
Good advice. We do have a connection to Bishop Appleyard as well. He confirmed me.
Oh, so there you go.
So always connections. Brian, it is a joy to have you with us, as it's a joy to have you as an assisting priest in your retirement here at St. James Westminster. And we very much look forward to continuing our journey together and continuing to tell our stories.
Thank you.
And I understand that Brian selected the opening hymn this morning, Come Down, O Love Divine.
Merciful God, you have prepared for those who love you riches beyond imagination. Pour into our hearts such love toward you, that we, loving you above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from 1 Peter. Now who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated. But in your heart sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he also went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and all powers made subject to him. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." The Gospel of Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We are now more than 2 months into quarantine, and we are starting the process of reopening, which has drawn concern on many issues. How will those of us in the church gather? What will need to change? How are our communities going to handle new rules about touching and distance? Will there be a second wave that devastates us? Now, I've been pretty honest that I've been having a rough time with quarantine, and I'm trying to see the silver lining in it. Now, you really, really have to want to see it, and most days I don't. But this time has given me the gift of reflection and meditation. The fact that I want to return that gift, for the gift of physical touch and human contact notwithstanding, it has been a time of great introspection for me. And what I realized that I'm thinking about a lot is loss and fear. And I think even as we are on the cusp of reopening everything, our conversations are shaped by loss and fear. Two things we all know personally and deeply. Two things that we as a society do not like to deal with. Now, I don't know if the reason that we're not good at talking about fear and loss is it because it challenges the eternally optimistic stance we're encouraged to take. Just ask anyone how they're doing right now and you'll know exactly what I mean. Or if it stems from our need to appear in control, to show the world our wins, that it reminds us of our own finitude and fallibility. But for whatever reason, we seem as a culture to lack the resources and emotional wherewithal to acknowledge the losses and fears that we and those around us suffer. Not sure what to say when confronted with the pain of fear or loss in another, we turn away, leaving that person feeling more isolated than ever. And I really think that after all we've been through, we need to start talking more about loss and fear, because we have all been trapped by them for the past 2 months in some way. Fear of catching the virus, of accidentally infecting our loved ones, of being alone and not being productive, losing our jobs, not holding it together for our families, the loss of social interaction, the loss of physical touch, the loss of gathering and connection. And so, what better gospel for us right now than John's story? The evening before the crucifixion, here is Jesus sharing a meal with his friends, his followers, his disciples. And he offers them an example of selfless love and service. This is my body, this is my blood. And then he prepares them for his departure. He's about to leave them. and they are understandably distressed. They are afraid. They are feeling extreme loss. Their sense of safety and security is being entirely shaken. But he tells them not to worry. He tells them not to worry. But the thing about fear is that we're not afraid of what will happen. We're afraid of how we're going to handle it. And so they're upset because they don't know how they're going to continue without him. And so Jesus says this to them. He tells them that he will not leave them alone. They will not be orphaned or abandoned. Instead, he will send them an advocate, the Holy Spirit. Now, we can get really theological about this, and I can parse out the Greek paraclete for you. That's the Holy Spirit, by the way. But I think it's much more important to say that while this ultimately means some sort of definition of an advocate, it's not a legal definition of one who advocates for you in a court of law. It's relational. It designates one who brings help, consolation, comfort, and encouragement. It basically means to come alongside another. And I can just imagine the disciples, because I think we're all like them a little bit, asking, what the heck? Who is this advocate? How are we going to know them? And trust me, I've been asking God those exact same questions. Where's my advocate? My comforter? Who is worried about me? Who cares that I'm afraid and sad? Why have you abandoned me? But this is a thing that I've come to realize. That in this time of uncertainty and crisis, in this time of loss and fear, the Spirit wears all our faces. It's in the person who stops to say hi to you from across the street. It's in the people who sit on the sidewalk and visit with you. It's the people calling you to see if you're doing okay or emailing to say that they're thinking of you. People dropping off gifts at your doorstep to cheer you up. The people who are making video calls and playing music or posting positive pictures on social media to remind us all that we can manifest our own happiness. We are communities of spirit. We are the way the advocate moves in the world, and by coming alongside each other like we have and like we need to continue to do as we move through this next phase, we are living out God's mission in this time. We all need a word of comfort and encouragement and hope. And I find that when we feel sad and lonely and scared, the best thing we can do is to help someone else be the face of the Spirit for someone else. It may not feel like much right now, but my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the Spirit looks a lot like each of us. And if we are going to get through whatever is going to come our way, we need to come alongside each other to walk this holy path. I don't know where we're going, but we are going together. Amen. Thank you.
So we've been doing these recorded services for 8 or 9 weeks now. We'll be doing them probably for a few more weeks. As Hannah alluded to, there is some thought about opening, but I'm not sure that we're anywhere near to that. So you can be sure that we will continue to do these services so that you will be connected to the worship space at St. James Westminster. One of the things that has been consistent just about every week is I go through the list of people who are participating. I always somehow manage to, even though he sits right in front of me, to forget the name of John Gardy, who has done such a masterful and wonderful job of sound recording and editing and putting this whole thing together. So I decided, rather than saying thanks to John while I listed all the other people, I would wait to a special spot in the middle of the service that I could say to John Gardy, thank you for your work as our sound technician, and I have Hannah and Brian as witnesses here that that's exactly the way I planned this, or not. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I invite you to take a position that is comfortable for you in prayer. In church, I would usually say standing, sitting, or kneeling, but given that you are probably at home, maybe you want to hit pause and go get a cup of coffee. Maybe you might want to find an even more comfortable place. Maybe you might take whatever you're listening to this on out into the garden, out onto the balcony, and be in nature as you pray. Whatever works for you, find that spot, that place where you are close to God. And that's the theme that I want to bring to the prayers today, because one of the gifts of this pandemic has been an extended time to walk in nature and to pray, to be contemplative, which is not usually the wheelhouse of my prayer life, but it has been for the past 8 or 9 weeks. So there might be some seemingly awkward moments of silence here. That's okay. It just gives us some time to stop and think about what God is saying to us now. So let us pray. First words that come to mind are thank you. As Hannah so eloquently told us in her homily, it's a difficult time. It's a time that we can be afraid. It's a time that we feel completely alone, where we wonder where you are, why you haven't snapped your fingers and made this all better for us. But we say thank you because deep in our spirits, as we seek, we find you there, as you always are. There's a still small voice in the sounds of nature, in the smile of a friend. Even while we might not see, we believe. And we say thank you that you are with us, that we can trust that we will get through this. not necessarily unscathed. But we will get through this. That your desire for your creation will continue to unfold with us as the smallest part of it. Yet we will be called. So we pray to you and ask that you would guide each of us. While we might want to pray for leaders and politicians and those who are in charge, what we can influence is how we react. And as Jesus told us in our gospel, that he would send us a companion, the Paraclete, the Spirit. And so we call on that Spirit now to guide us in each day. Whether it just to be to smile at somebody we see that looks alone and afraid, to be motivated to call somebody, to send an email, to tell somebody we love them. To do one simple good deed. To stay at home when we're told. We pray that your Spirit would bring us trust. Trust in you. From personal experience of doing graveside funerals, I want to pray for all those who have lost a loved one in this difficult time. The ache of their heart that they were not able to be there at the end. That the celebration of life that was to honor has been postponed. Yet we know that our loved ones, having finished this life, are now with you. Whatever that looks like, tastes like, smells like, feels like, they're with you in that place called heaven. Help us to grieve. Help us to support one another. And yes, we pray for leaders, for politicians, for those on the front lines, for medical staff, for those who do essential services in our communities. When the garbage truck rolls by this week, give them a wave. Say thank you. We pray for those in countries that there are not the resources and the healthcare systems that we have. We know that you are with them and you desire our support by prayer, by love. For those in remote parts of this world who are hurting, who are afraid, who are alone. Pray especially for chaplains. We have the honor of knowing some folks who are chaplains in long-term care homes, in hospitals, and in other places. Their work is valuable every day, but in this time, it is incredibly poignant. And they are on the front lines. And we pray for them. And though it might be a little bit selfish, it will ease our hearts, Lord, to pray for that time that we can be together as a church family. Help us to do it safely, to not put others at risk, to go slow if we need to. But assure us, please, Lord, that there will come a day when we will be together again in this place as the family of God. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you and remain with you and those whom you love this day and forevermore. Amen.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, let us go be the Spirit in the world and go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.